You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. In case you haven't been following it, this morning there's an active shooter at Naval Air Station, Pensacola, Florida, and the shooter's dead, and there's three other people dead, and I've some audio of a press conference that was just concluded. So I'm gonna play that for you, and you can hear what happened. Before we go to that one, however, there was a shooting earlier this week and that was in Pearl Harbor, you know, and so copycat, coincidence. That sailor at Pearl Harbor was a 22-year-old by the name of Gabriel Romero. He has not been officially identified by the Navy. He was assigned to the USS Columbia, a Los Angeles attack submarine, undergoing maintenance. His rank is unknown. Quote, he opened fire on shipyard personnel with his M4 service rifle and then turned his M9 pistol on himself. So it sounds like he was providing security for probably the ship. He had both an M4 and an M9, and for whatever reason, opened fire on the shipyard personnel and then killed himself. From the Chief of Naval Operations, we don't have a lot of details yet, Admiral Michael Gilday said at a forum yesterday in Washington, D.C. We're pretty sure that he acted alone, but we don't have those details yet. There's a lot of interviews going on right now. The third victim, a 36-year-old man, was listed in stable condition on Thursday in a hospital in Honolulu. The AP identified one of the victims as Vincent Kapoi, Jr., 30, of Wena, it's a Hawaiian name, a small town on Oahu's west coast. His wife said the family had no information about the shooting circumstances and asked for privacy. The couple married last April, according to social media accounts. So, that's to tie up the last shooting before we move on to the next one. And so I'm going to play the press conference that just concluded. We'll listen to it. It's about, I think, 12 minutes. It's about 12 minutes. So you have the mayor speaks first, and then you have I want to say the CO of the base, and then you have, let's see, you have, after the CO of the base, you have the, who else is speaking? You have the sheriff speaking, and then you have the sheriff's, like, it looks like his ops guy is there, and he has the most details about the shooting. So, without further ado, this is a press conference from Pensacola that just concluded.
For 200 years, this has been a part of the city of Pensacola, and we're a military town.
This is the mayor right here.
Hearts and prayers are connected to all those that serve us every day, and certainly the expectation that this would happen here at home. Pensacola.com.
Buy any AK battery set, get a second battery.
today, and certainly the expectation that this would happen here at home was unexpected, but I can tell you that all of our sympathies are with the men and women who are out here on this base, and we are currently in a support role. We will continue to do that. We are certainly thinking about all those individuals who are still hospitalized, and our thoughts and prayers are with them. I will say this is a resilient community. We will overcome this, but today this is certainly a tragic day, and our thoughts and prayers are with all of them. Let me say, for those of you locally, if you have no business over on this part of Warrington, please do not come over here. Everything is closed down. We will continue to have our police officers with the sheriff's officers keeping people from over here at this particular time. So if you don't have business over here, please do not come over to this side of town. But again, thank you very much for the opportunity to be here and just express how our condolences and our sorrows for those here at the Naval Air Station.
Well, good morning, everyone. I'm Escambia County Sheriff David Morgan. At approximately 6:51 this morning, the call went out to the Escambia County Sheriff's Office Central Dispatch that there was an active shooter on Naval Air Station Pensacola. We had two units immediately respond, you know, many to come behind, of course. While we would love to do a full disclosure with you this morning about everything that we are aware of, quite obviously we cannot do that. There are things that we are now in the investigative process that are required to be held back by not just the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, but our lead federal agencies, which, of course, are the FBI and the ATF and the associated federal partners that we have, and the U.S. Attorney's Office is also present. As the mayor said, I want to assure our community that the threat has been negated. Our community is secure at this time. We have no reason to believe or are we looking for any additional shooters within Escambia County, not just within the parameters of NAS Pensacola. I would tell you this strikes home particularly hard for me as a retired military member. Walking through the crime scene was like being on the set of a movie. And as the mayor eloquently put, you just don't expect this to happen at home. This doesn't happen in Escambia County. It doesn't happen in Pensacola. It doesn't happen to our friends and neighbors who are members of the United States Navy. But it did, and it has. And so for now, we're here to pick up the pieces. We have two officers at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office in the initial response that negated the threat that are now in a local hospital. We expect them to fully recover. It was a member of the Escambia County Sheriff's Office that did negate the threat. I will share that with you. It was one of our officers that did that. As the captain said, we have as of right now, we do have four deceased and approximately eight total. That includes the ones that have deceased, by the way, that are injured. The crime scene processing continues under the auspices of the FBI and the ATF. We are lending all local assistance that we have to this effort, everything from command buses to, you know, crime scene techs if they are so needed. We ask for the prayers of the community, and we ask for the assistance of the press. Please be patient. These things are ever-evolving. You may hear a misstatement from one of us at this juncture. Why? Because we've got a lot of moving parts in this machine, and we're all trying to get it in sync. And so if something comes back later that we have to correct, I would ask that you not be overly critical. The reason why I say that is this, is we have grieving families at this moment. That the Navy now, with their grief counselors and with ours at the Escambia County Sheriff's Office, are going out to handle the human side of a police action. We need your assistance with that. We need your partnership at this point. And we have enough critics in our community, and we ask that you assist us. So if we reach out to you as a member of the press and ask for that assistance, I ask that you come forward with it. At this juncture, I will stop, and I believe Captain Kinsella wants to open it for questions. All right, we'll answer any questions that we can.
Before it opens for questions, I just want to say publicly how grateful we are of the assistance from the Sheriff's Department. As the Sheriff said, it was a couple of his deputies that neutralized the active shooter. It could have been a lot worse if we didn't have the response that we did from our local partners. So, sir, thank you.
Thank you.
And, Mayor, thank you for your support. And thank you to the county for your support also. This is a community effort. And so, any questions?
Yeah, was the shooter a military person? Did you say that?
I don't want to talk about the identity of the shooter at this time. I'm sorry.
Can we talk about where on base it happened?
Yes, it happened in one of our classroom buildings.
Which classroom?
It was in, well, I don't want to say it this time. Because
probably one of the biggest pieces of information that you know, there's a lot of different things on at Pensacola. So this happened at the classroom on aboard the base, and they do a lot of different training, aviation training. Wasn't one of the, didn't happen on the flight line at a squadron. It didn't happen at the front gate, happened at a classroom on base. And this is the CO of the base talking.
Yeah, it, there's a lot of worried folks out there that don't know if it was in where their people worked or not, and I don't want to unnecessarily worry folks at this time. So that will come out in time.
How's the process of notifying the families right now?
Again, we're working through it. I appreciate the question, but we're working through it as best we can to make sure that the right people know at the right time, and we don't do it through the media. But thank you.
Do we know where the officers were shot?
We sure do. Yeah, we do. They were. If you want to take that one.
Yeah, the two deputies that initially engaged the suspect, one was shot in the arm and one was shot in the knee. The one that shot in the arm is being treated at a local hospital, and the one that was shot in the knee is currently in surgery. Both expected to survive.
What was the response time from when the shots first rang out to, you know, when the deputies engaged?
So I think,
well, I can tell you we have a precinct nearby. We got the call, as Sheriff Morgan mentioned, about 9 minutes before 7 o'clock, and we had officers here within just a couple of minutes. They quickly went to the location, as the captain said, the building in which the active shooter was, and it covered a couple different floors. This is a rather large building. The deputies and those assisting agencies from the Pensacola Police Department, FHP, FDLE, and all that you see around here, all worked in conjunction to neutralize the threat, and that's why there was not more loss of life.
What is your name?
Chip Simmons, CHIP-SIMMONS. I'm the chief deputy from the sheriff's office.
He's the ops guy, right? He has the most technical information relative to what happened in Pensacola.
Engagement this whole time?
Again, I don't have the exact numbers, but I can tell you that it did cover two floors from that one building. As Sheriff mentioned, when you get into the scene like that, it is a bit like a movie because you have spent shell casings all over. But the first thing you want to do is to make sure that the threat is no longer a threat. You neutralize that threat. And then secondarily, what you want to do is you present aid to the injured. And that's why what we have is we have eight individuals that were transported to a local hospital. One of those later succumbed to the injuries. And then we have three others that remain at the building. And that is part of the active crime scene.
Is this being thought of as an act of terrorism?
I don't even want to speculate on that at this time. I appreciate the question, but it's nothing we want to speculate right now. It's we're taking care of what we need to take care of.
I'll speak for law enforcement too. At this time, as the captain said, it's inappropriate to discuss that issue. And again, that would be more appropriately coming from our federal agencies. And when they're prepared to give you an update on the conduct of the investigation and those sorts of questions, they'll release that information.
Sheriff, can we get a little clarification on the numbers here? You said there were a total of eight people affected by this?
Yes, that is correct.
How many victims are deceased?
We have four deceased.
Including the shooter?
Yes. That's correct. There are four people right now deceased. One is the shooter, and there are eight people currently at Baptist Hospital. One of them have deceased, and then there are three remain at the crime scene. So, yes, so it was a total of 11 people, four of which have deceased. One of those four is the active shooter.
And two deputies are included in the wounded.
That's correct.
Now, how about NAS Pensacola does security exercises throughout the year? I understand they train for these exact types of situations.
Yeah, you bet. We work with our local law enforcement partners to do that. We train on this regularly. Active shooter is something that's very in the front of our minds for our security department when they train. So yes, we do. We train.
We have an MOA with NAS Pensacola, of course, where we do joint training, and also part of that MOA is that we are a response unit to assist NAS, and of course that's what was put in place this morning.
With our security forces, they were the first responders there, and then the sheriff's department came and backed us up.
Can you tell us what kind of weapon the shooter was using?
I cannot. No.
So tell us about the say it's in a classroom, I believe.
This is a training base. Almost all of our buildings are classroom buildings. So it would be hard for something like this to happen and not be in that type of environment. But I don't want to say which building it was due to the sensitivity still of releasing information.
Yeah, and if I could, I'll expand on what the reason why folks were reluctant to give some specifics, notifications have not been completed. So if I or the captain speak any more specific, and you're a mother or father that has a son or a daughter that's in the Navy, and they're assigned to the Navy base, and they're assigned to this particular training area, families know that. And so now you're going to create, again, panic within these families, and that notification needs to be measured. It needs to come from us, or the appropriate agency, I should say, at that time. So we're not trying to be evasive. There's a point to that. It's for our families.
Yeah, thanks for that, Sheriff. And, sir,
was the shooting confined to that building or classroom?
That is correct.
Yeah. Do you foresee this changing security protocol going forward?
And I will say security is an ever-changing, ever-evolving, and what we look at, lessons learned from this, and if necessary, we will. We're not a organization in stasis. We learn from events like this to ensure that we do it better. But I will say that I'm very, very proud of the response that my security department had, and I'm very proud of the sheriff's department, what they did. So it's. I think it could have been a lot worse if we didn't, if we don't train the way we do, to try and minimize casualties in events like this.
And I know you're not able to say that much about the shooter, but did he have business being on the base?
I don't even want to. Want to say.
How
I'm sorry.
What was the arm with?
I'll leave that.
We're not going to answer any of those specific questions. A press conference will be planned later on this afternoon, and I will also tell you, as part of our protocol, stepping outside the Navy side of it, we have a governor and elected officials that we need to also brief to ensure that they're aware of what occurred at NAS Pensacola. So there's a lot of moving parts in this machine that you will get the information. It's just you won't get all that information right now.
Captain, speaking to the governor and maybe even other federal officials, about to the president, mm-hmm. Have you heard from any of them?
I sure have. I've heard from multiple officials who have called to both the governmental, state, and local to offer their support in any way they can. It's been very comforting to have all levels of government reaching out to us to offer both comfort and support.
What kind of support is going to be given to the victims?
That's the press conference at from Naval Air Station Pensacola this morning. An active shooter first call came in at 06:51 Eastern Time, which would have been well before most classes get going aboard the base. So whether it was somebody laying in wait for somebody or what, obviously we'll find out. But for the second time in a week, the United States Navy has an active shooter on a base. We talked about the one in Pensacola that sounds like, and the one in Pensacola, what's odd about that is that, if you're assigned to a submarine, you're part of what's used to be known as the Personnel Reliability Program. Because you work in such confined spaces, they keep pretty tight track of the people assigned to submarines. And so certain personality profile you got to fit. And when you struggle, being undersea in tight quarters is probably not the best place for you. So they don't need a reason to get rid of you. No, they can get rid of you. So when you see something like that, somebody who's in a program like that, who's monitored, pretty tightly, again, with both armed with both an M4 and a 9mm, which means he's probably standing on every brow, right? The brow is the kind of bridge that goes between the pier and the sub in this case. It was in dry dock. So they would have been probably, some kind of elevator. Ladder well that would lead up to kind of a walkway that would go over to the bridge. I don't know what you call that thing, of the sub. And so probably be stationed in the vicinity of that. Or maybe on the sub itself. at that part. But so anyway, just odd that, you know, somebody that would be assigned, you know, to that role would click off safe like that. So more to follow about what that person's issues were. But again, you know, I just, for the life of me, you know, how you're going to solve your problem by murdering somebody else, right? Obviously makes no sense to anybody. So anyway, on this Friday morning, good morning to you. The chef's not going to be with us today. Yeah, so we'll see what happens on the program this morning. You might hear Tim Lynch, you might hear F-18 Man, you might hear Chris from Webster, Massachusetts. So I don't know. So this is an open-ended event today. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. We'll check the news on the day before my birthday. Yeah, fired up about that. 62 years old. It's hard for me to believe that, but whatever. 62 years old. And so, good morning to you on a Friday. Whitney Houston sings the national anthem on Friday. Good morning. And this is dedicated to the naval communities located at Pearl Harbor in Hawaii, and then this morning at Pensacola. Know that a lot of people think about you, keeping you, all of you, in our prayers. So there's nothing else to do but press on. And it sucks, but our thoughts and prayers are with all y'all.
Our flag comes first. You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
If you don't love your Marines, then you really ought to get up. The only reason I stuck around that low-paying outfit 40 years is for the absolute pleasure of serving alongside cocky, rambunctious, disciplined, selfless, unbelievably selfless young Marines. And the infantry got its name, infant soldier, infantry, young soldier. And I enjoyed being around them. And in the military, it's all about the team. And so if you don't know the team players beyond simply their rank and last name, you don't care about them deeply. I mean, just go up to Bethesda any time you want to see the cost of war and see the ranks on the rooms that you're walking into. Lance Corporal here, Lance Corporal there, PFC here, Sergeant there, Lieutenant. If you don't care about these guys, don't expect them to care about what's important to you. They're putting their lives on the line.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah. He goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time to check the weather. Then Chris from Webster, Massachusetts, is going to join us. I've had people email me to ask him questions about losing 250 pounds. So we'll talk to Chris here in a few minutes. Currently in Quantico, cloudy and 46. Down the coast at Camp Lejeune, it is partly cloudy and 62. 29 Palms got colder. It is cloudy and 49 there. Cloudy and, mostly sunny and 56 at Camp Pendleton. Camp Smith in Hawaii, raining, dark, 68 degrees at Camp Smith. in Okinawa, dark, raining, and 60 in the Helmand province. Continued cold weather. Early in the evening, clear and 54 degrees. In the Al Anbar province of Iraq, it is raining and 58 degrees in the city of Ramadi. At the home of All Marine Radio, it is partly cloudy, 59 degrees. Looking for high of 69 today with partly cloudy skies. Tonight, rain and 58 for an overnight low. Saturday, my birthday. So, there's still time. If you get to FedEx early, you can get your package here. It's gonna be raining at 67 tomorrow, and the day after my birthday, which is the feast of the Immaculate Conception, always a day off for me as a kid, which was righteous. Sunday it's gonna rain and be 65 degrees. That is a look at your weather. Chris from Webster coming up next here on your home for All Marine Radio, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good,
are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good,
Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
All right, a little bit of an unconventional day here on All Marine Radio. And joining us from the Commonwealth of Massachusetts, Chris Cox. Chris, how you doing?
I'm good, sir. How are you?
I'm all right. What do you do for a living?
I work as a quality inspector for a facility that molds plastic parts.
So why are you traveling around?
Massachusetts is small. I work second shift, and I have the opportunity to come out skiing or do the things I like to do that I wasn't able to do for a long time. So now I do it.
Got it. So when you do your job in a plant.
Yes, sir. I work in a facility making parts.
Got it.
Well, making sure the parts are correct. Believe it or not, sir,
yeah.
We actually make a device that goes on the end of a mortar practice round. I swear to God. It's a two-piece part. It gets molded. I'll send you a picture tonight. It gets molded. It gets welded together. Then it gets painted with a crayon, a white oil-based crayon. To mark it up, but I will send you a picture just so you can see that it's legit.
Nice. So that's your contributions to America's defense.
Yes, sir.
Attaboy. What now? I got some phone call. I got some emails. And I'm not going to go through and try to find them, but I'll ask you the questions, Mac. The next time you have Chris on, could you ask him to be more specific? How did he lose that kind of weight? Normally, when you're that much overweight, especially the first few months, it's like throwing a deck chair off the Titanic, which I've heard you say before. How did he get going, and how did he stay with it? So, I believe your mother, right? Your mother passed away, right?
Right. Yes, sir. What happened originally was, like, I couldn't tolerate food. So I had to eat very simply. I would eat I would make chicken stock or beef stock and then simmer like a Vietnamese pho noodle in it.
Wait. So what do you mean? You couldn't stand food. Why? Because just emotionally?
No, sir. Nothing like that. I would get very bad heartburn and I just didn't want to eat. So I had to find something that I could tolerate because, you know, you got to eat. And so then I lost like 70 or 50 pounds then, and then, you know, we did this, my mom came back and I lost, you know, about 50 pounds then, and then it just kind of built on itself, sir. Even though I was big, I always was active, like, you know, in the 90s I played golf and then I scuba dived for like 10 years, and so I was always active, and it's just built on itself, and it's discipline and motivation and knowing that you're capable of doing it. And like I said prior when we spoke, it gives you the opportunity for a better life. The work that I do in the gym and the work that I do for my diet gives me the opportunity to have a good job and do the things that I like to do.
Got it. So when you hear me talk about post-traumatic winning, that physical fitness is part of mental health, you're a walking, living, breathing example of that, yes?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am, sir. I'm willing to talk about anything when it comes to this. I've been on, an antidepressant for a very long time, just like a mild dose.
Right.
And my doc said, she goes, you're addicted to exercise, and you're not going to be able to exercise for a month, 2 months. So, like, she wanted to, like, increase my med and stuff. And, Yeah, but we didn't. But yes, like, exercise releases, like, all sorts of endorphins and chemicals. It just makes you feel so good, sir.
Right.
You know what I mean?
No.
It's... You get out there and crush it, and then you can go and crush it everywhere else. You know, especially in the morning. You've talked about early morning PT, and it just sets the tone for the day. You know,
is that when you get up and work out?
Yes, sir. I originally I was at the gym at 5:30 in the morning, and now when the dock clears me, I'll be there probably about 7 because I get home late at night.
Got it. So initially you couldn't eat, and so you
Correct.
Had to find other food. So when you were able to eat again, did the success you have drive changes in your diet?
Yes, talk
absolutely. To me about that.
Yes, absolutely, sir. I've heard, you know, there's like an adage that no exercise plan can defeat a poor diet, okay? So, you know, I looked at what I was eating, and I brought it down. I figured out how to figure out dietetic carbs and dietetic carbohydrates. And, like, I believe women are allowed 9 carbohydrates total a day and men are allowed 12 if you want to lose weight. So I figured out how to figure out dietetic carbs. And then I would eat very simply. I would have, like, cereal, low-fat milk, fruit in the morning, and then, like, a protein and, like, a brown rice or a brown rice noodle for lunch. And just eat very clean, very simply, and, you know, probably less than 1,000 calories a day. And I made sure that I didn't eat after, say, 7 o'clock and drank water with lemon because that's kind of an appetite suppressant.
Okay, so let me ask you, you said eat good but clean. Can you eat enough as a grown-ass man? Is 1,000 calories if you eat clean? Can you fill up your diet with 1,000 calories and not go around acting like a maniac who wants to, you know, eat the head of a small dog?
The only time that I've ever been, like, hangry, sir, you know, when you're hungry and angry, is when you have cereal in the morning, and you have, like, a giant salad at lunchtime, so you have no protein, and by the end of the day, like, yeah, I'm kind of pissed off because I'm very hungry then, you know? So you have to think about it. You have to make the effort and think about what you're eating and what you're putting in your mouth. One of my wife's friends is a severe diabetic, and he talks about food like just fuel for his body because he has to eat a very specific diet.
Right.
And that's, you know, what we put in, it's very simple. What we put in our body, we have to burn it off or we will gain weight. It's as simple as that. Eat less, move more.
All right. The another person wanted me to ask you, what did you start in terms of exercise when you were that heavy? What did you start doing? Because there's a lot of things that when you're, and Chris is talking about being 500 pounds?
Yes, sir.
Okay. When you're that big, let's just talk about when you got to 400. You dropped 100 pounds. You know, what kind of exercises were you doing? Were you walking? Were you on a bike? Were you swimming? What were you doing that you could do?
I'd rather sit in a dentist chair than pedal any sort of bike or stationary thing.
Right.
So I was always active. I was always, you know, we have a boat and like, so like we move around, you know, I would stay busy. So I wasn't like, you know, just sitting in the chair, not doing anything. But, I started at the gym and I could do I went on the treadmill and I would do like 20 minutes on the treadmill and I started to do seated squats, just very simple stuff. And, I also have arthritis in both knees because I've torn both knees up scuba diving. And so I just started easy. One of the docs told you when you were going back in the Marine Corps to listen to your body.
Right.
That's something that I do. And I did the treadmill, and I did the squats, and then I did a leg press, because I was just trying to build some endurance and some muscle mass and get my quads strong to support my knees. And when the day before I had surgery, I call it the Holy Trinity on the treadmill. You do 3 miles, takes 52 minutes, and you climb 2,000 feet. So that's, and you burn like 1,000 calories. And
Wait. You do 3 miles on the treadmill, and then what?
You do, on the treadmill, you do 3 miles on the treadmill.
Right.
It takes between 52 and 55 minutes.
Okay.
And then with the elevation, it goes up to a 15-degree elevation.
Right.
So I crank it to like 6 for 2 minutes, and then I crank it to 12 for a couple minutes, and then I basically do the hour at 15. So that'll give you 2,000 feet, vertical feet climbed. You know, and that's where you're really building your strength and your endurance, you know. It's in order to lose like big amounts of weight, you need to. It's kind of like low intensity exercise to get that long term cardio, you know, burn on, and then incorporate some lightweight training. And because you're not looking to build mass, you're just looking to work the muscle. For example, sir, I was in the Marine Corps with a guy. His name was Sergeant Jack Burke, and he hated running, but he would go to the gym. And he didn't run, but he could pass the 3 mile test, no problem, because just the way he worked with weights and just working out in general, you know.
What have you learned along the way that you didn't know? So you start out and you lose 100 pounds. Then you lose another 100. Then you lose, another 50. So in the course of all this, I'm sure you've lived, you've learned different things along the way. What do you know now that you didn't know when you started out after losing all this weight?
I think a sense of community and a good support group really adds to it. Because I've always been kind of like, you know, I'll figure it out on my own, I'll do it myself.
Right.
And I have, but for example, going to the Westboro Mass YMCA, the group of people there at 5:30 in the morning are the same people for like over 10 years. And
Right. It's
you have a I can't think of the term, like when someone checks up on you, accountability, sir, you know, having a support group, having people that are interested in what you're doing, you take an interest in what they're doing, and it becomes a community, and you work together and you become friends, you know, even if it's gym friends,
right.
You know, but you be consistent and you look at what you're doing, you know, you analyze what you're doing. I had mentioned, that I didn't make a goal. So I looked at my workouts and I was like, okay, I gotta add some more stuff to it. I gotta work harder here, that sort of thing, you know, consistency and a support group. And also, to know that you can do it. You can. You are capable of it, you know?
So, here's an email. Mac, did Chris weigh himself on a daily or weekly basis? Some people say to do that. Others say do not. Focus on a little bit longer range goals. So did you weigh yourself on a regular basis?
Yes, sir. I weighed myself every day. And I weighed myself in kilograms because it seemed a little more accurate. And honestly, I couldn't figure out how to get pounds on my scale, you know. I swear to God. And I weighed myself every day at home and every day that I went to Y. And I would put it in my phone and I would put it in a spreadsheet and track it. And if my, you know, all the if the numbers were good, they were in black. And if I had a number where I went up, I would put it in red. I'm a QA guy, sir, so like I can look at statistics and, you know, look at the trend. I mean, you're an economics guy, so you
know. Yeah, I know, trust me. Marginal increase, marginal decrease, right, change over time. I'm good with all that. What about, so did you have goals for every week that you had set?
No, sir. I have, my ultimate goal was to lose half my body weight.
Wow.
So I never set goals like that other than like I wanted to hit the 300 pounds because it was like tied to a doctor's visit, you know,
right.
And like, you know, I didn't make that certain date. But no, I never set a goal. I have long-term, you know, very large goals for myself, you know, but no, it's just every day is a work in progress. And now it's just the way you become, it's just life now. It's
right.
Just life.
Right.
You know,
here's another email. Hey Mac, how much did Chris weigh before he got big? What was his weight when he got off active duty?
I always had trouble with weight when I was in the Marine Corps, and you know, I was on the fat guy patrol a couple of times, two or three times, and I was 5'8" at the time, and my max weight was 186. So when I got out of the Marine Corps, I'm sure I blew up to like 250, 300 pounds easy, you know. And then in the 90s, I maintained like 350 for a very long time.
Got it. Here's another one. It's from Dave in Vacaville. Way to go, Chris! Exclamation mark. You are an inspiration to many. Did Chris suffer any cardiovascular disease or issues as a result of his weight? In addition, did he smoke or drink?
No, sir. Believe it or not, I had a chemical stress test for cardio. And I also had the treadmill stress test for cardio.
Right.
And my doc back in 01 said to me, she goes, Chris, you have a time bomb in your chest. Okay. Well, we're 18 years later and a time bomb hasn't gone off. By eating better, no, I have no cardio issues at all. They say I actually have a heart that's a little bigger than it should be. Like, I've driven my cholesterol down to, like, crazy numbers. Like, for example, triglycerides is a number that they look at, the docs look at. It's supposed to be 150.
Right.
At one point, mine was 432. Now mine is 76. You know, so.
How'd you do that?
Diet, sir. Diet and exercise.
Diet and exercise.
You know? Yep. One of my friends is a cardiologist. And believe it or not, he's such a good cardiologist. He's going blind, so he can't do surgery.
Right.
But he still does, he does consults.
Right.
And we would, you know, we talk at the gym and he's like, yes, Chris. He goes, it's the exercise that just crushes the cholesterol, you know.
Interesting. What about, what was it? So you don't drink or smoke?
No, sir.
Wow. So you were just a food guy?
Yes, sir.
What was your downfall? Which food could you not get enough of?
Just the convenience of fast food, sir. You know, that's all.
Got it.
Especially when they went to, like, you know, you get the debit card or the credit card, because, you know, just drive through, swipe it, and house it.
Right. Dia, you don't have to go to the bank. You just go eat.
Nope.
What's the next goal?
My next goal?
Yes.
It's twofold, sir. As stated before, I want to pass the Marine Corps physical fitness test.
All right.
But I'm also very interested in CrossFit. And here in Massachusetts, there's a CrossFit gym that has produced this woman who is named Katrin Davis Doder. And she won Fittest Woman on Earth twice, 2 years in a row.
Wow.
You know, she's unbelievable. I'll send you a link to her, sir.
Okay.
And so we went out, she trains at Natick. And so my wife and I went out to check out this gym. And like, I'm inspired by this woman with the weight, because she loves to work hard. You know, she loves to work hard. It's all about working hard and not complaining, you know. And so I roll into the gym, and honest to God, sir, I went out there just to check out the gym, and she's like 8 feet behind me, and I couldn't believe it. But I'm getting off track.
So what did you do?
The lady I was smoking to, I said to her, I can't believe KDD's right behind me. And she goes, well, would you like a picture with her? And I'm like, you're kidding me. And I said, I don't even have my phone. So I went out to the car to get the phone, and I get up my wife, and I'm like, you can't believe this. We got to go inside. So we go inside, we meet her, my wife talks to her, she goes, oh, we didn't think you'd be here, and they closed the gym for you, right? And she's like, oh, no, it's not like that. She goes, I'm here all day, every day. But, yeah, I'll send you a picture. I had a picture taken with her, And, like, to sum that up, CrossFit does this thing. You know, you remember Michael Murphy? I'm pretty sure you were in, like, you talk about him. You've talked about him on the show. And it's the seal that won. He earned the Medal of Honor.
Medal of Honor.
You know? Yeah. You know? Well, he did it. He was a workout guy, and he did a CrossFit workout that he calls Body Armor. And it's a 1 mile run, 200 pull-ups, 100 push-ups, and 300 squats, and a 1 mile run. I might flip-flop the push-ups and pull-ups, but that's my ultimate goal, sir. Because if I can do something like a man like that can do, you know, that tells me that I've worked hard enough.
There you go.
You know?
It's walking in good footsteps.
Yes, exactly, sir. I want to be able to say, and he does. They do it in a plate carrier, a 20-pound plate carrier too.
Hello.
So, you know, that's my ultimate goal right there, sir. You know, and I want to do it. I'm going to do a mini one on my own here because I'm not going to be ready for the real one. And he was from Patchogue, New York, out on Long Island. And I want to be legit enough to be able to go out to Patchogue and run it where he was, you know, where he was from.
Wow.
You know, because I think that's like a fitting tribute to him, you know, and all the other men that have done that sort of thing.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome. Here's another email. Congrats to Chris, !3. What an awesome thing Chris has done for himself. Kudos to him. Listening to him inspires me to stay dedicated to my own journey towards losing 100 pounds. I've lost 37 pounds since August 13th. Thanks for coming on with Mac. Ruth Ann from East Grand Forks, Minnesota.
There you go, Ruth Ann. 37 pounds. I bet you that's probably 10, 15% of her body weight. Well, I don't know. I'm going to mess that math up. That's a significant amount of weight. You know?
No.
That's a significant amount of weight.
Absolutely. What advice do you have for people that ask you about, that ask you for advice?
I say be consistent, okay? Consistent in your effort. Think about what you're eating, okay? And think about the work that you're doing and how it benefits you. Because, yeah, it's hard in the gym. But then, you know, walking around, sir, I used to have to take the little cart around the supermarket, okay? You know, like the old person cart?
Yeah, the one you sit in, the LARP thing?
Yes, exactly, sir, exactly, you know? And now I don't have to do that. And it just, the benefits you get from it is so much. You know, it just makes you feel normal. And, you know, you're doing it like everybody else can.
Wow. Now, you know, you said something last time you were on that, you know, things that you don't think about. You said it was snowing, and, you know, you talked about getting up and shoveling snow, and you said, you know, there was a time that I couldn't go do that, you know, and I'd be laying in bed, and my wife would be out shoveling the snow, and how emasculating that is, for lack of a better term, right?
Yes, it was, sir. Yes, it was. You know? And unless she wants to go out and shovel, she don't ever have to hold a shovel in her hand ever again.
I'm thinking, you know, that's not at the top of her list of things she wants to do.
No, sir.
Interesting. Now, you know, you're the second person. I went to buy some weight this week at a gym supply place in Fountain Valley, which is close to me, and there's a guy working in there, and it was a good store, and you know, because you look for different things, and in the big box stores, you know, they tend not to have the best stuff, and then the gym stores tend to be really pricey. This one was had the same. For instance, I was buying 45-pound plates, and they, Olympic plates that are made out of rubber, so you can drop them and shit.
Right.
Right? And so they're called bumper plates. Anyway, they were essentially the same price, maybe $3 more than Walmart had them on sale online. So you know that's a good price, right? So anyway,
right.
Dude's working there, and I said, are you the owner? And he said, no. And I'll tell you why, because they treated me great. They gave me 15% off what I bought. Yeah.
Yeah, it's better to go to the smaller guy, sir.
Well, I mean, again, he asked me, I don't know if I was wearing a hat. I can't remember why, but he said, were you in the military? I said, yeah, I retired from the Marine Corps. And he said, oh, that's awesome. And he takes 15% off. Now, I would say most people, if they give you a discount, if they give it to you, is 10%. So 15% off when you're spending, $150 bucks, that's $30.
It's real money.
And so I was like, holy shit, man, thank you. And he said, nah, he said, it's our privilege. I said, are you the owner? And he said, no, I just work here. I said, do you use a bunch of this stuff? He said, and he looks at me and goes, I don't even really work out. I don't even go to the gym. And he said, but I've lost about, I've lost about 80 pounds since I started working here.
80 pounds. That's significant.
Oh my God. Right. And I said, it's the size of a little kid, for God's sakes.
Yes, exactly.
He said, I meet a lot of trainers that come in here and buy stuff. And they tell me, it's 80% what you eat and 20% exercise. And he said, so I've really changed the way I've eaten, and it's completely changed my body. And I don't work out hardly at all. I said, really?
Well,
because he's a pretty big dude. And I said, wow, that's impressive.
Sir, I had the last time I was able to go to the gym was October 1st, I think. Okay.
Now you haven't been able to go to the gym because of your surgery, right?
Correct, sir. My wife and I went Sunday because I wanted her to just watch me and make sure I could do some stuff. But like, we're not telling the doc that,
right?
And I kind of lost track. Oh no. So it's been 2 months since I've been able to work out, regular. Right. And I've actually lost about 20 pounds because, I lost some weight with surgery, but, I don't want to go back. So I've been very, keeping an eye on what I'm eating. And, yes, it's all about what you eat. My dad had a heart attack years ago. And, when you go through cardiac rehab, I remember him telling me, they said to him, don't eat anything out of a cellophane bag, like, chips and don't read those and all that kind of crap over, People know what to eat. Eat simple stuff. Eat the outside edges of the supermarket where you get the fruits and the vegetables, Eat lean protein, Switch from ribeye steaks to New York strips. Just don't overcook them, And after you get a little tired of chicken, what I've been trying to do is do like pork, loins and stuff in a slow cooker, so you shred it up. And sir, I even have a gram scale where I weigh stuff up.
Oh my God, that means you're around the bend, man. If you have you're around the bend. If you have a gram scale, because that's how the serious foodies measure their food, then that means you're serious.
26 grams of granola is one serving that goes in my yogurt for breakfast, sir, with some fruit.
26 grams. Holy shit. That is so un-marine-like, it's a joke.
Really? But, sir, but think about how that, like a type A personality works for us with our uniforms, Irish penance, The gig, you were talking about the gig line the other day, okay? It's un-marine-like in some ways, but it's a marine-like in others.
No, you're right. Let me tell you, and ultimately, if that's what gets you there, then fuck what anybody else thinks, right?
Right. You have to do what works for you. It has to, and another thing, too, exercise has to be convenient,
Yeah.
I had to switch gyms because my gym was 30 miles away when I changed jobs.
Wow.
So now my gym is 12 miles down, an open highway with no traffic, So,
wow. No, I agree with you. And that's why sometimes, people that get up early, if it doesn't fit into your battle rhythm, to your day, and to me, you can't sustain that. So it's got to fit. And so whether you do it at breakfast before you you start your day, whether you do it at lunch or whether you do it in the evening, it's got to fall naturally into a spot that you can get to on a consistent basis. And if you can't,
yes.
If it takes you too far out of your way, it's not long for the world.
I agree with that, sir. Example we have at the house is my wife works day shift, and she tried to get to the gym, and, you know, afternoons and evenings, the place is packed. Life interferes throughout the day, and, you know, she chose not to go, you know. But, yes, it has to be convenient.
Yep. No. And you hear a lot of people that either stop going or reduce you know, their time at the gym because they, you know, it's not convenient. So to me, when people talk about, you know, their gym routines and stuff like that, the question is, can you sustain it?
It has to be sustainable.
Here's another one. What does he eat that tastes good? I like to be healthy, but I also like to eat. And a lot of times that I find that those two things are in conflict, my taste buds with my stomach. So
I mix it up. I buy different varieties. I buy a variety pack of yogurt. I buy whatever fruit looks good in the store, not always the same kind. I'm a relatively proficient chef. I can cook from a recipe. It doesn't have to be plain. You know, I mean, you can do chicken breast in a crock pot with, you know, like, for example, most people do it with taco seasoning. This week I did it with Indian seasoning, with a curry seasoning. And, you know, you can get a burst of flavor with that, you know. Fresh stuff, sir, fresh, the outsides of the market. You know, you can buy it fresh. Don't eat it, don't get it out of a can. Don't get it pre-cut. You know, that sort of thing.
So what do you talk about, vegetables and things like that?
Yes, sir. Produce and then your proteins. When you think about the supermarket, all your fresh stuff, all your stuff that has a short shelf life tends to be on the outside of the market when you go in, at least here in Massachusetts. You know, you go into the produce and then you go to dairy and then, you know, meat and stuff like that. So it's the outside of the market where you should be shopping. You know, not the stuff that's in a can, in a bag, you know, processed foods, that sort of thing. I'm not a food nut at all. I eat simply and I eat well, you know. And when I try to combine a carbohydrate with, like, say, a protein bar or something like that with a piece of fruit, you know. You can combine them and it works to keep you, you know, not hungry.
Right. Here's another email. Mac, I'm curious. I've read a bunch of articles about fasting and intermittent fasting. Does Chris fast?
No, sir. I don't do anything like that. I'm not real familiar. I've heard of intermittent fasting and that. I don't know how long you can sustain that for. You know, how long can you starve yourself? You know, learn to eat small portions, and eventually you'll become adjusted to that. I think, you know, not eating for a day and then eating for 3 days, I don't think that's sustainable, and I also think that's giving you like a false result too, because you're going to drop a couple of pounds quick, but then I think over the long term it's not realistic. And that's where people, I think, fail, is they expect immediate results, and it doesn't happen, but the long term result is so much better, it's so much beneficial, you know.
Well, you know, it's kind of interesting. I've gotten discussions over the years with people that say, I want to target my fat loss. And I say, well, how the hell do you do that, right?
No.
Your body loses weight the same way your body puts on weight, and that is 360 degrees, okay? Now, your body has a way it does it. It's probably not telling you that, but I'll tell you what, if you measured yourself and if you've lived in your body for a while, you probably know where you put on weight first. And I think that's one of the challenges when you try to start losing weight is you don't, because you're losing it over the course of your entire body, you don't see the result very quick, and I think a lot of people get discouraged.
Right. Yes, you have, You have to look for small incremental gains and then look at it over like a 2-week period. Don't look at it in a 1 week or, you know, your consistency of effort will show up in your data over 2 weeks, over a month, you know.
Okay, hold on. Here's a quality assurance email. Mac, I think it's pretty interesting, Chris's background and the fact that he got on the scale every day. A lot of people say don't get on the scale, just judge by the way your clothes fit. What good did getting on the scale do for him? Did it just keep him pointed in the right direction on a daily basis? So talk about
daily,
that.
Daily accountability, sir. Absolutely daily accountability.
Wow.
You know, the only time I wouldn't step on a scale is in the summertime because we'd be up on the boat and, you know, you don't have a scale. So I'd weigh myself on Friday, then I'd weigh myself on Sunday night when we got home, you know? And, no, it's about being accountable to yourself because you're doing it for yourself and you can't lie to yourself and you have to be accountable. You put yourself in this position and you have to do the work to get better. And there's no, you have to be accountable and make the effort because we're all capable of it, all of it. Sir, I got 2 banged up knees and I weighed 500 pounds and I've probably skied, I don't know, I've done at least 10 runs today, this morning, you know? So anybody can do it.
I will tell you what, that's amazing though. Honestly, I mean, because everything that you read says, oh, you can't do this and you can't do that and be very careful. And you have a very consistent, disciplined, balanced way. And that your quality assurance stuff bleeds through the whole time in terms of your daily accountability. But you had a long range goal, but not daily goals. But you got daily feedback, whether it was a black number or a red number. Yes.
Yes, sir. That's a very good way to describe it. Was daily feedback. You know, absolutely. Daily feedback. Yep.
Here's another email. Here's another from Ruth Ann in East Grand Forks, Minnesota. I weigh my foods prior to cooking them. I've learned so much over the past few months, and Chris is pretty spot on, 15% of my body weight so far. So she said she has a gram scale as well. So
she's lost 50% of her body weight?
15.
Good. I mean, think about that, sir. You know? I mean, it's some of the... Food, think about this. You know, this food is socially acceptable, especially this time of year. You know, we just got past.
What do you mean? Our whole culture is built around it, man. Every place you go, there's a shit ton of food, and it all tastes great, right?
Exactly, sir. You know, what do we do? One of the guys left work. I'm like, let's meet for lunch. You know, people get paid on Thursdays at work, so they end up bringing in, you know, this. All of a sudden, the pizzas show up, that sort of thing. The holidays are coming. You know, that's an eat-a-thon. So, like, food is socially acceptable, whereas, like, say you're, you know, you have a problem with alcohol or drugs and stuff, that kind of gets, like, shunted away. And it's not as prominent as, like, food, because food's always around, you know, and easily acceptable.
All right, what haven't I been smart enough, or has nobody else been smart enough to ask you in the follow-up discussion about your weight loss that people should know?
Well, we covered consistency. We've covered diet. I really think, I know I eat a lot less than is recommended, but I haven't sustained any kind of, you know, injury because of that. I think it's consistency, effort in the gym, and don't lie to yourself about what you're eating and how you're conducting yourself, because what goes in is what fuels you, and it's your responsibility.
All right. Yep. No, I mean, that seems to be the consistent message, but this is probably, actually, it's not a bad time to have this conversation because because this is the month, right? It starts with Thanksgiving, goes all the way through the first of the year. That if you can get to the gym and you can work out and you can control what you eat a little bit Everybody likes to have a little bit extra around the holidays, but if you control what you eat a little bit, then guess what? You could probably not suffer physically from the holidays, which sets a lot of people back, and then they go to the gym for 2 weeks after the start of the year, and then they never go back.
If they start to develop a little bit of a good habit now, they can carry it over into the next year.
Got it. Do you think weighing yourself every day focuses you on your fitness and health every day?
Yes, sir. Absolutely. I get up, and the first thing I do is I take care of business, then I go step on a scale.
Got it.
Absolutely. And I don't write it down now because I can remember it, but I step on the scale every day, and I step on a scale at work too.
Oh, no kidding. What, all right, you got a big plans for the weekend?
I'm not sure. I think I'm going to try to get my wife to come out for a ski lesson tomorrow. Or if not, we're definitely going to find something to do outside. There's snow on the ground, so I'm thinking, we might go for a good long walk in the woods, Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah. All right. You want to be the first person to wish me happy birthday for tomorrow?
Happy birthday, sir, on December 7th.
There you go. All right, Big Chris from Webster, Massachusetts. So, first of all, give us the weather from Webster today.
Okay, I'm currently at Princeton, Mass. I'm sitting at the lodge at Mount Wachusett. It's overcast, and it's snowing very lightly, and it's cold because it's small snow.
There you have it.
Beautiful day today.
Chris, have a good weekend.
You too, sir.
Thank you
for calling me.
No. Anytime, man. Anytime. Have a good one. See ya.
You too. Bye-bye.
And that is Chris from Webster, Massachusetts. Come on, man. Does it get cooler than that? I just got reminded, don't forget shithole weather. This is from Vacaville. Good morning, Mac. Happy birthday tomorrow. Yes! Today's weather in beautiful Vacaville, California is currently 52 degrees, looking for a high of 63, winds at 10 to 20 out of the east-southeast, and looking for 0.9 of an inch of rain, which is not very much. And a picture from it's a cedar tree. It looks like downtown Vacaville from a parking lot. Big Dave. It's foggy in Vacaville. Sacramento area, Vacaville, is part of the San Joaquin Valley. And fog, man. You get some serious-ass fog in that valley. I remember somebody told me once it was foggy, and I said, yeah, this ain't foggy. And so, yeah. All right, we'll take a break. I'm not sure what we're going to do next. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.